Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have now tuned in to the Outer Rim Beacon, your frequency for everything in that galaxy far, far away. I'm Justin, one of the hosts of the show. Joining me today, as always, are my co-hosts.
This is Josh, and this, I'm just going to say it before either one of you can. This episode reminded me of the Fast and the Furious. Drop.
Too fast
for y'all.
Too furious.
This is Kyle, and I did not see Vin Diesel at all in this episode, so I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
This episode was all about family, and you know it.
Family.
It's about family.
No, it's just the whole like side of the cliff and all that. They'll explode. Like that's what those like. I loved the first one when I was like 14, but like. They've just turned into action movies with cars and explosions and tanks and spaceships and
yeah, they're insane, not good.
I think the fourth or fifth one was literally them robbing a oil. The start of the movie was them robbing an oil tanker that was in like Puerto Rico or something, going down this giant hill towards a cliff, very dusty mountainous terrain, kind of like what we saw in this episode. So you're not far off, Josh. You're not far off.
Too fast, too force sensitive.
Before we dive into news and notes, Josh, quick synopsis, because I know you watched WrestleMania. How was it?
So
did it live up to the hype?
Yeah. I'll try to be real brief, because I know no one gives a shit about this.
I care a little bit. It was supposed to be great.
Yeah. So I do want to hear.
You know, Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes' son, finished the story, finally beat Roman Reigns. The Rock tried to help him, and then The Undertaker came out, and the lights went down, you know, and then the lights came up, and The Undertaker was out there, and then he choke-slammed The Rock, and that was pretty sweet. And it should have been Stone Cold, but, you know, you take what you can get, and it's pretty cool. And, you know, Rhea Ripley, mommy, she won. She's still champ, so that's cool.
I'm a me.
Tab's favorite wrestler Bayley won in her first WrestleMania like solo match, one-on-one match. So
nice.
Yeah, it was really good. A lot of good stuff. CM Punk is not as hurt as we thought, and that's my favorite guy. So that's
how long
pretty
has
cool.
it been since Taker was in the ring?
Well, Taker hasn't been a full-time guy for a really long time, and he hasn't, I mean, he used to do like, he'd do just WrestleMania. I think, so his last match, I think, was in 2021, maybe, and it was like a cinematic match, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't it was in, like, on a set, so I think his last, but it wasn't long after his last actual one before that, because they did
big,
a
big reveal,
they
then,
did a,
huh?
They did a well. No, he's still around, and actually has a podcast now. So it's like it kind of ruins it when I always liked Taker, but it ruins it when he's on his podcast talking about Blue Lives Matter and about how you know, back in my day, people had a knife in their bag, and it's like, all right, boomer. Like,
oh, so he's just being Ted Nugent.
Shut up.
On his
yeah, it's a well. I know. I like he's definitely not Uncle Ted, but you know. He's, you know, it's like, he's smart enough not to say too much, you know, but he's definitely right-leaning, so.
How old is he?
Old enough, man.
Late 50s, probably.
I was going to say, I bet he's pushing 60.
Okay. Yeah.
But Sting retired this year, and he was 64.
They don't stay retired very long, do they? Like, they retire, but then they kind of pop in and out.
Depends on why they retire.
Yeah, when we've had a spat of people like having career-ending injuries like 10 years ago, and then, you know, through the you know, better living and science, they're able to come back too. So,
true. Taker is 59 years old.
Called that.
Yeah, wow. 10 years from now, that'll be a really nice age.
Yep.
He's getting up there. What'd you think of the venue? Was it Eagles? It was Eagle Stadium. Is that right? Outdoors, yeah. Football stadium.
I mean, that's what they've been doing for a while.
Okay.
I will say I went to SummerSlam, which is one of the other big four when it was in Detroit. And I would never go sit in the upper bowl of a football stadium again to watch wrestling. Hockey stadium, sure, but not football. I'm actually I'm going to SmackDown on Friday at Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah, the ring is actually not as big as it looks on TV. So being 1,000 miles away, it's not a great view.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it lived up to the hype. I'm all in on wrestling again.
Nice. So
good. Well, speaking of living up to the hype, we got literally after we recorded the show, like the next day, a trailer dropped for Tales of the Empire.
Animated shorts. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, animated shorts coming this May 4th. It came out of nowhere. Nobody said anything about it. It wasn't leaked anywhere, which I love. And it just popped up. Hey, this is coming out May 4th. Be on the lookout for it. Two different tales. Barriss Offee, kind of a backstory of what happened to her, apparently, after end of Clone Wars. And then a Morgan Elsbeth backstory as well. So we're going to find out where what happened with her and where she's at and how she hooked up with Thrawn, I guess. So go ahead, Josh.
I'm so excited about this because she was a character I wanted to care about and was having a hard time. And so to get a cool backstory is perfect. Obviously, we're going to get more Thrawn backstory, which is good. And like, I'm excited to find out what happened to Barriss after the fact. And so Kyle, I was going to ask, like, you don't like that character. Like, I feel like you don't like her in universe. Like,
yeah, that's accurate. Mm-hmm. Like, she serves a purpose. Like, there's nothing wrong with the character as a character, but she's an asshole, right? Like, she did
bad thing. You're booing the bad guy, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you are excited to see a backstory
for sure.
Or like a continuation of her, you know, fall or whatever.
Well, yeah, because we never really know. You know, she set up Ahsoka, and then after that, we don't know too much about her.
She just kind of disappeared,
Or became it's an just exciting. Or something.
It's we feel like, you know, it's like they. I'm always worried they're gonna like run out of stories in the time periods we've already like been through that we care about, and they keep finding ones that like are. Oh yeah, I do want to know what happened with that character. You know, so. Mm-hmm.
We did get a little bit of a sneak peek into some of it. We get a younger, different Thrawn. It was slightly a little bit different animation in Tales of the Jedi of Thrawn, but it is Lars Mikkelsen back as the character.
You know, all the animated shows kind of do their own thing as far as style, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's cool. Like, everybody's like, well, that's not how Thrawn looks, and it's a different... No, it's just different anime. It's just different styles and how they transpose. Like, it's not a big deal.
It's a big deal, Justin. Everything's a big deal.
We're Star Wars nerds. Everything's a big deal in Star Wars.
Gotta be mad about something.
We saw a little bit of Merrick and the Inquisitor that was in Tales of the Jedi that faced off against Ahsoka. So... we did get that. We got Diana Lee Inosanto is back as Morgan Elsbeth, Meredith Salinger as Barriss Offee, Rhea Kilstedt as Lynn, or AKA the Fourth Sister. So the fact that that's a named character is tells me there's probably a little bit more there with that character. Lars Mikkelsen is Thrawn, Jason Isaacs back as Grand Inquisitor. Love that. And Matt Wood back as General Grievous.
Cool.
We get kind of the fall of the Night Sisters here, so
stoked. I'm
definitely
for that.
Excited for
yeah,
this.
I'm wondering if they're gonna do that that comic story in animation.
I don't know. It looked great though. I watched it like three times the day that it dropped in the first like five
all
minutes.
I know is it better be like a big force that he brought. It better not be some stupid like Grievous did it all almost by himself, because like I get that he's formidable, but he's not force sensitive.
Bunch of battle droids are not that formidable though, you know.
Yeah,
and that's all he has.
It's like Sister Magics.
Disrespectful to the Night Sisters, you know.
And then the other cool thing we got actually earlier this week was the Star Wars Outlaws trailer, the story trailer for it, which is going to be available. The game's going to be available August 30th. It is available for pre-order now. Josh, you said you had pre-ordered it. Which version did you get? Did you get like the base version?
Brother,
like,
you know
Xbox,
you know
like
he got
the deluxe.
Did he? Or did he get the ultimate one?
I've been waiting
for a open world Star Wars game for so long, and the creators of Assassin's Creed are making this game. I'm there. I know a lot of people are like, oh, all Ubisoft games are the same. I don't give a shit. They're the same that they are is the same that I like. So, and I know that you feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm a bit. You play Assassin's Creed. I play Far Cry, which like those are like the ones people complain.
You say
that,
potato.
Like,
you say I say tomato. It's all good.
I like it. Whatever. Yeah. I enjoy them. I've played like all of them. So,
and this looks cool.
And this looks cool. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Right? Like if it's got a good method.
Yeah. I mean, their world engine could use some updating if we want to get down to brass tacks, but that's like a hardcore gamer nerd thing.
But the worlds are still like so big, though. It's just like, I've literally been thinking about lately that I'm like, I should re-download Grand Theft Auto. I just want to drive around and shoot people and rob, you know, like just whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, can you imagine being able to just like, oh, I just want to run. I'm going to go to Tatooine and just do it around like
Tatooine will be the last place I go.
I know,
yes,
it's just like the easiest planet
point.
That came to my
I think that's the right.
Well, and we know that she goes there. We saw it in the trailer, so I will say it looks incredible. Two nitpicks though. Why do we need to create a new criminal enterprise that we didn't already know about? Why couldn't we just use
one
we already know?
Why can't you just be part of one of the ones?
So now we have a game where the antagonist is human and the main villain is human. Come on, boring. Mm. And I know, like for the antagonist or for the protagonist, it's like it's easier to identify. But there are aliens in the Star Wars universe that have human enough features that there's no like she could have been Twi'lek and it would have been just as connectable, you know,
or at least make the villain an alien.
Especially when every other person in the circle is alien except for Daenerys, like, you know, like she's the one human. So did I say that backwards? Everyone else is an alien. That's what
I knew what you meant.
I got you. And it's great that it's great that it's a female protagonist in this game too.
Cool. Yeah.
I love that. It opens not only Star Wars, for a more female presence, but gaming as well, which is big. So, love it, love it, love it. Can't wait for that. There's three different versions. There's the basic one. There's like one tier, which gets you like a season pass and some content. And then there's like the extra grande deluxe version, which gives you two season passes with downloadable content,
probably some skins and maybe some weapons and stuff
You get to start playing 3 days early.
So here's the funny story about that, though. I was like, oh hell yeah, 3 extra days early, and then so that the release day all the way to the day that it comes out, I'm going to be on tour, so I won't be playing.
Won't be able to play.
Nope. Oh, that sucks. That's no good. Do you have Xbox or PlayStation, Josh?
PlayStation.
Okay. Do you guys have remote play on PlayStation? Do you not?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I've got it for Xbox, so I can basically tote a controller with me and use my iPad and just turn my Xbox on, and I can remote play wherever I go. So, just something to think about if you're on tour. Bring it with you or hook it up and get it ready. So, anyway, be on the lookout for those two bomb pieces of content from Star Wars coming in the next couple months. Let's dive into our main topic for today, though. That is the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 12, titled Juggernaut.
Don't you know who I am?
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
I'm the Juggernaut.
You're right where I was going with that one.
You have to.
So basically we get we pick up right where we left off at, on Pabu after the Empire has taken Omega, and we thought Bad Batch was left stranded there, but clearly they were able to get off from Fee rescuing them. She came out of nowhere.
This episode kind of sucked, in my opinion.
It felt forced. Like, to me, it kind of, like, where did Fee come from all of a sudden? She was in that cave that apparently everybody knows about now, except for the Empire couldn't find it, and it's one island. I don't know. It was a little weird. That was kind of one of my nitpicks, was that it felt a little bit forced. But anyway, let's dive into, let's start with the observations first. Kyle, let me start with you. Let's go with your Jedi Master observations for this week's episode.
Well, we've been talking, like, I guess all season about Crosshair's hand thing and his issues that he's been having. And I think we're, like, landing on it some kind of PTSD and they, you know, resulting from whatever they were doing to him on Tantus. And, you know, I thought it was, like, a nice little touch, or either or they're, like, giving you more breadcrumbs to, like, really hammer home that point that when he was talking about finding Tantus and, like, maybe if we go get Rampart, he'll know where it is. His hand is, like, shaking and he's rubbing it and he's having, like, all these symptoms while he's talking about Tantus, and even admitted, like, well, I didn't mention this before because I really haven't wanted to go back there anyway, you know. And I just thought that was, like, an interesting little touch. That they put in there. And also, like I already said, I didn't think that this episode was that great. So there was, like, a little thing there that I thought was cool.
Yeah. Josh, what about you, sir?
Well, I just want to, there was something that I felt like was kind of perfect to talk about because it calls back to something I talked about before. I felt like it was telling in very, like, it's going to come into play later. How much differently Sleemo, like, remember I was saying he doesn't have any bedside manner, and it's like, why not just treat them like human beings, or, like, you know, but like sentient beings, and so Omega, we're gonna treat with a little, like, at least fake respect, and try to sell her on how important she is, and call her by her name, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's still gonna be, like, terrible to her, but he's at least, like, putting on the facade that like he's not putting on with anybody else.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you think he's going to keep that up, or do you think now that she's in there and locked down and with those other kids that she's going to be just a number and treated like a lab rat or whatever?
She's important enough that I think, because she's the key, right? So she's important enough and enough of a troublemaker that she's worth trying to pacify, at least initially.
Do you think Hemlock's better off keeping her in isolation than putting her with Gen Pop, or
probably, because I mean, honestly, how are any of those kids going to get out of that vault? You know, I mean, it is realistically, there's no way for them to just get out. The kid even got the little data pad and the code, and he still got, like, he didn't even get past the first door, let alone all the lasers, the second door, the two soldiers, and the rest of the base. So, like, it's...
She's not getting out on her own.
I feel like once you're... Yes. Pop infield fly, for sure. So, like, I feel like... Yeah, it's like once you're in there, you're up poops
Although
creek.
That worries me that we're going to get a dumb kids trying to escape episode next we're going to hate.
I hope not.
It could be.
It's cool when they're all Jedi and they're being hunted by Trandoshans. This wouldn't be cool.
Well, no, it would not. Because these Force user kids don't even know how to do anything.
They're, like, doing their little Jenga, you know?
Yeah.
Poorly.
I'm gonna build a Jenga tower and I can get out of here.
Isn't even, like, physically there. It's literally like a hologram game. So I don't know what's going on there. We did get a little bit more explanation from Hemlock, though, on what they're trying to do, which is basically, we want to take these kids we want to take somebody with a high M count and stick it in somebody else.
Heyo.
And what we've been trying to do is it just It just kind of degrades every time we do it. But the only person that it doesn't degrade with is you. So here we go. And he sticks her in there. He's like, oh, well, who are these people? And he's like, other pieces of the puzzle. So
yeah, Hemlock explained it really well. And then also like two episodes ago, I also explained it really well when I said, hey, I think this is what's happening. So you can also check that out.
I think we were on the right track pretty early on with what was going on. So.
I can confirm that Kyle called it early.
Yeah. The only other thing that I really kind of observed in this episode was the two other prisoners on the Juggernaut when they kicked them all off. Did anybody else, and not to say all Rhodians look the same,
here
and
we
not
go.
To say all Trandoshans look the same?
Racist.
Was that Greedo and Boss that they just let out of this Juggernaut? I mean, it was pretty close. Could be.
It was Trandoshan and
an A Rhodian.
And A Rhodian, that's for sure. Can confirm that.
I just laugh though, because like obviously we see them later on, and
they're criminals
back when they hire a bunch of bounty hunters.
They're
to find
international
loot.
Criminals, y'all.
I'm an international criminal.
Yep.
Intergalactic.
Yeah. So I just thought that was
planetary.
Funny, but, let's dive into our nitpicks for this week. Josh, did you have any complaints for this week's episode? Or the whole episode?
Yeah, my whole episode complaint is that if you're going to make a Too Fast, Too Furious themed episode and it doesn't have a ludicrous character,
Too Fast for y'all,
drop. I get the same music cue twice in that episode. I'm cool. Actually, he did it with Game of Thrones, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
he dropped it like three times that episode.
Because Justin wouldn't shut up about it. He wanted to do a Game of Thrones podcast that day.
Apparently.
Ludacris is coming to the Monroe County Fair in August, and I cannot wait.
Is that the nit you're picking? Is that there was no Ludacris in this episode of The Bad Batch?
It's a strong nit to pick, you know?
No, I don't know.
I feel like if... You're holding them to an unrealistic standard if you were hoping for
Star
Ludacris.
Star Wars needs more Ludacris.
I want to point out that, Mercedes Vernado is Snoop Dogg's niece, so they can make it happen, I think.
Okay, sure. Go on. Pick your nit.
And Wanda Sykes is in this episode, so that's another real-world person that... You know,
that what that what
from that was
that
popular
has
during
met
the same
this person
time
like,
period. Yeah,
like.
They might know. She might know Ludacris. I bet you she does. Yeah, I don't know.
Not my
way to go.
The whole that like what Kyle said earlier. I was like this. There's the only part of the episode that felt like it really served a purpose was like the very end when she got there.
Yeah.
And like she was talking to Hemlock, and like the rest of it was kind of like, oh, that was like, I guess the chase scenes were fun. I just like, it's like we're getting this late in the season, we're doing these episodes with like not a whole lot of story substance. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not need to see them driving those tanks around for freaking 15, 20 minutes, whatever.
Also, they would know the armor was bad and shoot the wheels immediately. It's their own thing. I don't know.
Well, and that there was apparently sensors on them. Because they were like, well, if we do it from the top, they're going to see us coming. But they sneak on from the bottom, and instantly the prison guy's like, oh, something tripped the sensors. I was like, wait a minute. Wouldn't you know that those are on there?
Point?
I don't know. Kyle, what about you? Any
So when they went to get Rampart, this is the part we were talking about. Were those, side note, were those Ugnaughts that he was talking to? The little, they had helmet things on for most of it, but... So he was like conversing with them. They said shit in their Ugnaught language and he replied to them. And then like again, this happened. And then on the third time, he's like, hey, told you guys, I don't speak your language.
I don't know what you're saying.
Like, what? What do you like? I get it's a kid's show and like, you're doing a bit, like you keep talking to me and I don't know what you're saying, but like, you should have played the bit the whole time. Like, why was he responding to them? And then all of a sudden he says, yeah, I don't know what you're saying. It made no, I mean, of all the things, I just didn't really enjoy this episode, but like that got on my nerves.
Yeah. So, could it be one of those things where he's playing it up? I mean, I know it's not, right? But it just made me think of this time where there's this Japanese wrestler in WWE, and they were like, he was talking in the thing, and then all of a sudden, like, they asked him something he didn't want to answer, and like, this was all in character, and he goes, "Oh, no, me no speak I English," and like, he said that. I'm not like he was doing a character.
You're both racist. Yeah,
no, I'm telling, like, the Shinsuke Nakamura is from Japan, and so he's like, "Oh, now that I don't want to answer the question, I'm gonna pretend like I don't speak English anymore." But I'm sure that's not what was happening.
I don't know. I could watch it. I don't want to watch this episode again. But, like, I want to say maybe the first time it was something innocuous, like, you know, "Don't boss me around" or whatever. Like, oh, maybe you don't need to know exactly what he's saying to know someone's, like, being a jerk and tell him, like, "Hey, don't talk to me," whatever. Yeah. But, like, the second one was like, okay, no, you just answered him.
Yeah.
Well, he said something about, like, or I don't know what you said, but I agree with you or something like that. And he was like, what?
Yeah, he like responded to something specific, not just like a tone or whatever. Yeah.
The title. Oh, go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
Have you seen those clips of like Peter Mayhew, or like of Star Wars without Chewie dubbed in? Like, Peter Mayhew was saying all the lines.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like he'd be like, "That old man's mad," and then, you know, and then Harrison would be like, "You said it, Chewie."
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah. The title of this episode was a little on the nose, considering it was on the turbo tanks and it's the Juggernaut, and there really wasn't other symbolism in this episode outside of that. You know, whereas the Harbinger, we got a couple different meanings to it, but to me, the escape from Pabu felt a little rushed. Like, we left last week's episode, like, how the heck are they going to get off this planet? And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a method for them to get off the planet, like, right away. You know, that was a little weird. I couldn't understand why
Game of Thrones final season time dilation? You know, where, like, in the first season it took like half the season for the dragons to get somewhere, or, you know, whenever the dragons first arrived, and then, you know, by the last season they're showing up to help Sam to save him from the White Walkers in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, they were actually on Tantus on Pabu for another month. We just, like, it just felt like, no, it was definitely that next day or something, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah,
it just made it seem like she was there, like, right as the Empire had finished their attack and was, like, ready to go. And I'm like, well, when did she get in there? So, you know, Tantus watching Omega, like, he's bringing her to this vault area just in her street clothes with a belt pouch on her, like a little pouch on her belt. And I'm like, are we not going to, like, put him in jumpsuit? Because every other Imperial prison and science lab they're wearing, or like factory, they're wearing a specific jumpsuit. Here they're just like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, she got to wear streets. Yeah. I'm assuming they checked those pouches for contraband, you would think.
I don't know. And then the only thing that kills me is, again, I had hopes that Hondo might pop up here, because Fee mentions that she could get the info, or she knew a guy that might have some intel. And when we see her again and she's got the layout of the prison, right, she says, yeah, I had to pay a handsome fee for it or something from my contact. I was just like, here we are again, just throwing this out there that Hondo could be part of something and he's not.
She said, I had to cash in a favor. And it cost me a handsome fee or whatever. I'm like, that's not usually how favors work, but okay.
I was like, all right, there's another opportunity that maybe Hondo pokes his head in, and we didn't get Hondo. So that was kind of
The Hondo ship has probably sailed at this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer. Let's dive into our Thank the Maker moments.
I thought Disney was about profit.
We know Hondo is.
Maker mom?
Yeah.
We know. Yeah, we know Hondo.
If it's profitable.
You ever known someone that thought they had a really good Hondo impression, but they didn't, but no one told them?
No.
I do.
Who?
You know. You weren't catching my joke. It's okay. Continue. Disregard.
I never said mine was good.
I wasn't talking about you.
I know mine's not good.
I know mine's not good. All right, who wants to go first on the thank the maker here?
Kyle does.
The only thing I had was like that one guy looked like he was an Imperial bomber, one of the ones up in like the, I don't know, wherever the, I don't know, up in like the control booth when they were trying to kidnap Rampart. And I thought that was cool to see. He's from like the, whatever, original trilogy popped up. I've got one of his one of his figure, or one of the figures of them. You don't see him a lot, so I thought it was cool that he popped in there with nice. The with the weird whatever helmet that looks like the speed cycling thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Josh, what about you? Anything stand out this week?
I didn't, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, fan service-y stuff for me.
No. There wasn't a lot.
If anything, fan service-y thing for me this week was, you know, like, seeing Jabba in that trailer for the game.
Yeah.
All the little, or actually, I would say even seeing Kira was, I was, like, shocked, you know? Like, because mm-hmm. it seems like they'd, I guess they did the comics, so they're not shying away from her, but I just, you know.
Yeah, she
there
had
was a Han
a
Carbonite.
A few comic, like, miniseries, didn't she? Two or three?
Yeah. No, yeah, she was, like, a lead character for a good while.
And the Han and Carbonite was there, too, so there's a lot of good little drops in there. So, mine for this week was just, I loved seeing the halfback, the giant juggernaut, the tank. That thing's awesome. It got limited screen time in Attack of the Clones. Got a little bit of screen time in Clone Wars, not much. It was cool just to see.
Were driving in Mando?
Slightly different version. Slightly different version.
This one's bigger, right?
Yes, this is the big boy. This one was also in Rogue One. It's what Jyn was in the back of when K2 gets her out. So it's cool to see it when you get to see it. It's just a massive, massive tank. They only made it one time, I think, in Hasbro. But if they made it again, I would probably buy one because they're pretty cool looking. They're huge. So anyway, all right, let's dive into something non-Star Wars that's got you excited this week. I thought I had a pretty good one this week.
All right, go ahead. You can go first.
All right, I'll go. I finished up Invincible this week. Excellent, excellent.
I think there's
show.
Still an episode or two left.
Oh, is there one more?
Or was that the last one? I'll check. You go ahead. Read your title.
I haven't watched the new season.
Anyway, this week's episode of Invincible was outstanding. Invincible features a huge voice cast. It has a bunch of talented actors and actresses in it. One of them, though, is J.K. Simmons, which I do like J.K. Simmons, talented actor. But little did you know, he once played Darth Vader along with one of his castmates, Mark Hamill, in a 2014 live reading of The Empire Strikes Back. The cast was crazy, though. The cast for this thing included Aaron Paul, Jessica Alba, Stephen Merchant, Dennis Haysbert, Kevin Pollak, Rainn Wilson, Mark Hamill, J.K. Simmons, Ellen Page as Han Solo, and Jason Reitman in this thing. It is a very, very eclectic cast, but it's pretty cool. So check it out if you can. But and Invincible, if you haven't watched Invincible, it's a great, great show.
You're right. That was the last one. I thought there was a ninth episode. That was the season finale.
I know you didn't mean it. You're just reading. I'm just going to do it for my own Elliot Page.
Elliot Page. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
No, because I know you're not that. I know that you wouldn't do that on purpose. So I wanted to make sure people didn't know you were a jerk. Know that you're not a jerk.
Yeah. Sorry. That was my note that I pulled in there. And I forgot to change.
No, you're good.
Nope. You're right.
Yeah.
Josh, you got one or you want me to go?
Mine is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. This stinking con keeps adding more and more guests that are like specifically tailored to my interests. And it's John Cougar Mellencamp, baby. It hurts so good. It hurts my wallet so much. I'm stoked. And Kyle's coming, and I'm excited for that. And he's going to have such a good time that we're going to get you to come next year.
I do want to come. I want to check that out.
Do not come.
I wish I could make it this year, but I cannot.
Do not come.
You guys are going to be...
Kyle, can you put in that thing pictures? Where... Can you put in that thing from the internet where it's like Vice President Harris saying, don't come, don't come, don't come. And then Trump goes, I'm going to come.
Yeah. Yeah, can you put that in? We can definitely do that.
Do not come.
Yeah.
Do not come.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going to come.
Hey, Kyle, what do you got this week?
Josh didn't make his Star Wars, but there are going to be a bunch of Star Wars people there.
That was C2E2. It. That was enough, I think. It was plenty.
Snoochie Boochies.
You
know what? So actually, Tab got to see, here you go. This is perfect. So it's not as many connections, but so Jay and Silent Bob, but we watched Dogma just randomly, Tab and
great movie.
But then once great movie. Yeah, it's my favorite of his. Literally the day after we watched Dogma, they announced those guys. So now that we're meeting them, I was like, and it's like 30 years of Clerks. I was like, Tab, we need to at least watch Mallrats and the three Clerks movies, before we meet them. Mm-hmm. And so Tab got to hear like the whole Empire Return of the Jedi independent contractors thing for the mm-hmm. first time. And the Chewbacca, what a wook, like, all, yeah. You know, which are like really... core fan things for people like us. So, and she had never seen that stuff before. And she liked it, even though Clerks is, kind of slow if you're watching it in 2024.
Yeah, Clerks is like...
But Tab loves 90s stuff, so she likes 90s, pacing and...
Well, it's like definitely a little time capsule. It's one-of-a-kind thing, kind of.
Although Dante is the worst. Like, it's like when I was forced to watch How I Met Your Mother, and I hated Ted Mosby. He's like the worst character on the show.
Yeah, it's his show. He's terrible. Sort of like anyway. Lena Dunham and Girls. It's her show. She wrote it, and she's horrible in it. Are you done?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, C2E2. There we go. I finished, and I know I am weeks, maybe a month late on this, but... I finished True Detective season 4. Phenomenal. Highly recommend it. It's weird. It's like a spiritual murder mystery, whodunit type thing. Very cool. Season 1 of True Detective is one of the best things that's ever been on TV, in my opinion. I can't attest to seasons 2 and 3. I haven't watched them, but 1 and 4 are so good. It's an anthology. Each season is its own thing. But... season 4.
I had heard that about season 1, that season 1 was like one of the best things ever. Yeah.
It is so good. I would recommend it to pretty much anyone over the age of 12.
These are fiction or nonfiction?
These are fiction. These are very fiction, but really, really good. The first one is Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and just phenomenal. So good. This season 4 is great too, though. Jodie Foster stars in it as the like main cop. She, you may know this, but she was in Silence of the Lambs with one great movie. Highly recommend mm-hmm. the movie and the book. With Anthony Hopkins, who was Hannibal Lecter.
Big fan of lotion. That Buffalo Bill
loves lotion. Loves it.
Puts the lotion on its skin.
Okay, a weirdo. He also likes making suits out of people and keeping moths. Yeah. So he's a weird dude. Yeah. But Anthony Hopkins was also in Westworld with Ed Harris, who was in a 90s classic, The Rock.
Classic.
Featuring Sean Connery.
Oh, my God. How many things are we doing here?
This is a good one. Who played Indiana Jones' father in the Indiana Jones movies. And, of course, Indiana Jones is Harrison Ford, who is Han Solo.
Boom. That was good. I like it.
I have a better ending for you.
Go ahead.
Indiana Jones to, we saw John Williams do Indiana Jones at Star Wars Celebration. Boom.
Yes. Mm.
And I cried.
That was amazing. That was amazing. So glad I got to witness that. Anything else you guys want to touch on for this week's episode before we wrap it up and get out of here?
Nope.
Yes, no, maybe. Nope. All right. We're going to blow this thing and go home.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Thank you for tuning in this week, guys. Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 12, titled Juggernaut. Hope you guys enjoyed it. A little quicker this week, but hey, we just didn't have a lot to talk about this week. So go follow Outer Rim Beacon anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Outer Rim Beacon. You can email us, outerrimbeacon@gmail.com. My name is Justin. You can find me on Twitter at IamTheBendu. Where are they going to find you guys at?
This is Josh. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Battle of Tanab. My band is Former Critics on all the socials. And we're playing a lot of shows coming up, so come on out.
This is Kyle, and I am KB_legend on all the social medias.
All right, everybody. Hope you have a great week, and hopefully we get some more cool Star Wars news dropping like after we hear this show, because last week was amazing. So, anyway, may the Force be with you.
Always.
R.I.P. Nate Dogg.
Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators!
Mount up.